Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's gospel reading is all about forgiveness. And to help us reflect on forgiveness, I once again ask you to have page 324 of your hymnal open so we can reflect on the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer, and also to have your bulletin open to pages 6 and 7 where we find the gospel reading for today. But let's start by looking at the gospel reading on pages 6 and 7 before we get to the Lord's Prayer on page 324. There on pages 6 and 7, we see that Peter comes to Jesus. And he comes to Jesus and asks him a question. He says, "How many times do I have to forgive my brother who sins against me?" And Peter even throws out a number. He suggests 7 times. Now, if you consider that each individual person gets 7 times to sin against you, well, that's quite a bit, right? That's pretty generous. They sin against you 7 different times and come and ask for forgiveness. Well, all right, you're being generous, right? Well, 7 is not the right answer. Jesus responds to Peter with these words, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Now, does that mean that if you multiply 70 times 7, you get 490? You forgive someone 490 times, and then at time 491, it's over. The forgiveness bank account has been all used up, and we don't give out any more forgiveness to that person. That person has exhausted the forgiveness that they can receive from you." No. Jesus is using hyperbole here to say that you forgive an endless number of times. You continue to forgive and forgive and forgive. God does not keep track of the number of times that we have received forgiveness from him. And so, too, we do not keep track of the number of times that we have given out forgiveness to somebody else. But we continue to give forgiveness again and again and again to others who sin against us. And we continue to do this all because we have received God's forgiveness in Jesus. God has given his forgiveness out to us in such a generous and abundant way that we can't help but then, as new creatures in Christ who've been forgiven, give out forgiveness to other people in the same abundant and merciful way. And Jesus illustrates this for his hearers and for us with a story that tells us something about this abundant forgiveness that God gives us and we give out, and also tells us something about how much God has forgiven us and how small and minor the offenses that others have committed against us really are, and also helps us to understand what forgiveness really is. So let's look at that story. Jesus goes on and tells the story of a king who wants to settle accounts with his servants, people who owe debts. And it happens that as he's settling accounts, someone comes to him who owes 10,000 talents. Now, that doesn't mean a lot to us because we don't use talents in our currency, but 10,000 talents was a lot of money. A day laborer would have to work 60 million days in order to earn enough money to accumulate 10,000 talents. So this man owes the king 10,000 talents. He'd have to work 60 million days to pay that off. That's 1,000 years. He can't do it. He's not going to live long enough to pay that off. It's impossible. And so what happens? Well, the king orders that this servant and his family be sold, and all that he has be sold, and payment be made. But the servant falls on his knees and pleads with the king, asking for his mercy, and saying that he will pay it off. Now, we know that it's impossible for him to pay it off. He can't actually do it. But he promises to do so. But the king is so gracious that he ignores even this promise and simply forgives the whole debt. He gives up all of this money that he should have, that should be his, and lets this guy go completely free. We don't see that anything is paid at all. The man gets to go free. Now, before we go on in the story, we should reflect then on how this applies to us. That we have a generous master and king who has graciously forgiven us when we didn't deserve it and we couldn't pay it off. All the sins that we have committed are like an enormous debt that stands there before God. We can't pay it off. And God the Father has forgiven us this debt because Jesus paid the debt on the cross for us. We get to go free and we don't deserve it. This is really highlighted very well in the meaning of the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer, where we pray in the fifth petition and forgive us our trespasses. In the meaning of that petition, we say, as we talked about last week as well, that we ask in this petition that our Father in heaven would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. So we're saying there that God could deny everything we ask because we have this great debt before him. We shouldn't be able to ask for anything more because we have owed so much to God. But we ask in the Lord's Prayer that God would forgive those sins. He would pay the debt. He would forgive the debt. That it would be wiped away. We wouldn't owe him anymore. And on top of that, that he would give us everything that we ask for in the Lord's Prayer. We ask that he would give all of these things to us by grace. For we surely sin much and deserve nothing but punishment. We don't deserve any of the good things that we ask for. But we ask that God would give them to us, not because we can pay them off, not because we can pay him back, because we can't, but purely out of his grace and mercy and love for us, because of the death of Jesus for us. This is all that we can plead before God. And so that is our state before God. We are like that first servant in that we come before God with an insurmountable debt that can't be paid. And that's the position that we have before God when we pray in the Lord's Prayer. In fact, imagine yourself before the King, before our Lord, like this servant, with an insurmountable debt, crying out to him on your knees for his mercy when you pray this petition of the Lord's Prayer, when you say, forgive us our trespasses. And know that our Lord does forgive them because of the death of Jesus for you. No matter how great they are, no matter what they are, he forgives them all. But the story here in Matthew 18 doesn't end. It goes on. Because this servant then goes out and he finds somebody else who owes him 100 denarii. Now, again, we don't understand that because we don't use denarii. But 100 denarii would mean about 100 days of work. Now, that's a lot less than the 60 million days that you'd have to work to pay off his debt that he's just been forgiven. He's been forgiven a 60 million day debt. And now somebody comes to him who really could pay off 100 days of work. That's possible. And he begs the first servant. The second servant begs the first servant, I will pay it off. He asks for mercy. Now, if this guy has been just forgiven this enormous debt, he doesn't owe the debt. He doesn't have to pay it. Why is he demanding now from the second guy that he pay back the debt? He should come forth from the king saying, look, all of it's been paid. I'm not going to be a slave. My family's not going to be a slave. I'm not going to lose everything I have. I will freely forgive this guy. But he doesn't. He has him thrown in prison until he can pay the debt. And the master hears about this. The king hears about this. And he brings back in that first servant and says, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And then the servant who's unwilling to forgive is himself thrown in prison. And Jesus says in conclusion, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." God is not pleased when we who have received forgiveness as a gracious gift do not then go forward and forgive those who have sinned against us, but rather than when we try to hold on to grudges and past debts and think that people owe us, that they have wronged us and they need to pay us back. When we hold on to those grudges, our Lord is not pleased. But he wants us to forgive those who have sinned against us and not hold on to these things. And we should see from this story that the wrongs that people have committed against us are really very minor compared to the debt that we owe to God. The debt that we owe to God is immense and can't be paid off. And whatever sin that someone has committed against us is really minuscule compared to the debt that we owe to God. And so we, having been forgiven, go forth and say, "We forgive all of these other people. They do not owe us." And this story also is helpful then in helping us to understand what that forgiveness can look like. Here in the story, forgiveness is described as being forgiven of a debt that we don't owe the person anymore. So we can understand in this sense that we don't owe our Lord anymore. We don't have to pay him back. And also, we should be on our guard and thinking that someone else owes us, and we can retaliate against them by the way that we treat them, by the way we talk about them, by whatever we do in response to them, thinking that we're going to get back at them because of what they have done to us, rather than forgiving them and saying they do not owe us. We're not going to get back at them. We're not going to retaliate against them. But their sin is forgiven. This is what our Lord wants us to do. Now, does this mean that we are going to forgive and forget? That we're never going to remember it again? I think we all know that that doesn't happen. It doesn't happen that we suddenly forget after we have forgiven. That the memory still comes up. But the question is, even when the memory comes back up and it's not erased, do we have anger or resentment toward that person? Is anger or resentment accompanying the memory that we have of that past wrong? And when it does, we need to repent. We need to ask our Lord for forgiveness. We need to declare again that we forgive them and that our Lord has forgiven them for that sin. That Jesus died for that sin on the cross. He paid for it. And we're going to again and again have to fight our sinful nature, which does want to hold on to resentment and anger and hold on to past wrongs, that does want to retaliate. We're going to have to fight that sinful nature and put it to death by the power of His Holy Spirit. And how do we do this? We don't just do this on our own. We come to our Lord for His forgiveness. Notice that's the focus here in the story. That's what comes first. Is the forgiveness that the first servant receives from the master, from the king. He receives forgiveness first before he is to go out and forgive others. And the same happens in the Lord's Prayer. First we ask, "Forgive us our trespasses," before we say, "as we forgive those who trespass against us." So it isn't the case that God forgives us after we have forgiven others, as though we do this good work of forgiving and then God forgives us. No. Thanks be to God, that's not the case. He forgives first, and then we forgive. As you see in the meaning of the fifth petition there in the catechism, most of the space is taken up in that meaning with talking about our need for God's forgiveness and our unworthiness. This is where we start, coming to our Lord for forgiveness. And then it ends, "so we too will sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us." It is by the power of His Holy Spirit, having received forgiveness from our Lord, that then we go forward and forgive others. because they, fellow sinners with us, also need forgiveness. Christ died on the cross for their sins just as he died for ours. And we all come before a king unworthy of his grace and forgiveness. We receive forgiveness and we give out forgiveness to others. We have received freely, we freely give. All by the power of his Holy Spirit. But it all starts and it all comes from week after week after week and day after day, really, comes from receiving forgiveness from our Lord by his death on the cross. Thanks be to God that he has forgiven us this insurmountable debt. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us and paid for our sins. And thanks be to God that we, now as forgiven sinners, give out his forgiveness to other people. Now may the peace of God, that passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.